The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening again. Good morning, good afternoon, whenever it is you're listening. And a warm welcome. So today I'd like to talk about a topic. It's something that maybe for some of us isn't our favorite topic. Let's say this. I know it certainly wasn't my favorite topic before. I actually kind of shied away and felt uncomfortable with it and maybe even a little bit angry about it in some kind of way. And that is to maybe build a little bit on with this, on the guided meditation, this idea of confidence that comes as we, the more we practice, it grows and really can be a support for us. But that's not what was making me angry or people shy away from. It's sometimes the word faith is used rather than the word confidence. Sometimes we might also use the word trust or conviction. But I thought I would unpack this a little bit for us and explore and examine and tease apart some of these different parts or these different elements of faith, trust, confidence, conviction. And specifically to say that the topic of faith can be difficult for some people because it's associated with mindless belief, perhaps, with this idea that we have to proclaim allegiance to a particular doctrine or creed or something. And not only do we have to proclaim an allegiance, but then we will be judged by this, judge ourselves, or maybe we're judged by others, by one's degree of compliance or one's degree of belief or something like this. So when we use faith in a Buddhist context, it's very different from this, very different. But it's natural, of course, that we might have some different associations with this word, with the whole concept, the whole idea of faith. But faith is a part of Buddhist practice. It's just not this kind of faith where that's we have to pledge an allegiance to a doctrine or something like that. But maybe I'll start with this little quote of that the Buddha gave before he was a Buddha. So he talks about faith here, but clearly it can't be faith in Buddhism or faith in him or something like this because he's not a Buddha yet when he's saying this. And where it's in the context of the commenting how the Buddha wished everyone a better life. He wanted people to have a good life. And it was summarized in this verse. Faith, morality, learning, intelligence, restraint, and justice, much good else, wealth, possessions, partners, and children, flocks, kin, friends, colleagues, health, beauty, and happiness. These things he wished for others that they might keep and never lose. So faith is here at this beginning of this long list of all these desirable things that people might have in their life. And he was wishing that everyone might have this. So clearly faith here isn't maybe what we're thinking it might be. Instead, it goes with possessions, partners, and children, and health, beauty, and happiness. So what is faith in the way that it's here, and how might we consider it in the Buddhist practice? Well, I'd like to suggest that faith has different aspects. Maybe you won't be surprised to hear that. And we can consider some of these different aspects. In one aspect is that it has a volitional, practical, connotative value to it. That is, it provides motivation to do something, that it's underlying like activity or action. It's like a readiness to do something with the belief, with the confidence that this thing that you're going to do will lead to go in a particular direction that you'd like to go. So one aspect of faith is kind of a mobilizing force. It's a way to stir up the energy, maybe, to do something, because you have a belief that what you're about to do will be supportive for you in your practice. And we can see that in one particular quote from the Dhammapada, where faith is associated with diligence, and it's contrasted with laziness and sluggishness. So this two little verses here in the Dhammapada says, whoever lives focused on the pleasant, senses unguarded, and moderate with food, lazy and sluggish, will be overpowered by Mara, as a weak tree is bent in the wind. So overpowered by Mara. Mara, we can understand, is this personification of things that get in the way of awakening. So being focused on the pleasant, senses unguarded, immoderate with food, lazy and sluggish. These are help create the conditions in which things will hinder, will be an obstacle to greater freedom. And then the next verse says the opposite. Whoever lives focused on the unpleasant. So we're not saying that we have to focus on the unpleasant all the time. It's just countering focused on the pleasant. So it's this recognition that there's pleasant and unpleasant and neutral in our experience. But sometimes we're always only focused on the pleasant. Whoever lives focused on the unpleasant, senses guarded, that means to not always be, if we know that it's the equivalent of, if you know you don't want to eat a lot of cookies, not going down the cookie aisle in the grocery store. If you know that you really need to sleep more, it's not starting that movie at midnight that you're going to watch or something like this. Whoever lives focused on the unpleasant, senses guarded, moderate with food, faithful and diligent, will not be overpowered by Mara, as a stone mountain is unmoved by the wind. So in this verse, faithful and diligent counters, in the earlier verse, lazy and sluggish. So it's this way in which we can consider faith as a way that provides some motivation, some inspiration to act, to do something. Aligned maybe with an inspiration, has a heartfeltness. So it's not just an action because we feel like we have to do something to make something unpleasant go away. But it's more of a feeling like, yeah, this is the direction to go. This is the direction for greater freedom, greater peace, greater well-being. So the practical, volitional, connotative aspect of faith. And then another aspect of faith might be this heartfelt, this emotional, affective aspect of faith. That is maybe this feeling of reverence, devotion, love, esteem. This more of a heartfelt, what is a way to describe devotion, but not devotion with a sense of zealots or that's blinded or something like this, but with a real commitment, maybe a warm commitment, something like this. Maybe this feelings of confidence that's coupled with an attitude of devotion and commitment. And it's maybe this is like we can think of a belief in something. So this heartfelt confidence, a warm confidence. And we can find a short little verse that also talks about this aspect of faith. And this verse takes place in the context. There's a number of Brahmins, so these are non-Buddhist. They aren't the followers of the Buddha. Instead, they're priests of the dominant religion at the time. And they go to the Buddha and they ask him questions. And after the Buddha answered all their questions, they were so inspired and touched by what the Buddha had to say that they became his followers. And one of the Brahmins, Pingya, he returned from after seeing the Buddha and he told some of the other Brahmins how wonderful the Buddha is. And one of these other Brahmins said to him, "But Pingya, why don't you spend all your time, your every moment with this person, Gotama?" Gotama is the clan name of the Buddha. And Pingya responds this way, "My faith, joy, mind, and mindfulness do not go away from the teaching of Gotama. Whatever direction the one of great wisdom goes, to there is the place I incline." So pointing to how his heart and his mind are inclined towards this direction of the Buddha. Even though he's not there all the time with him, like physically there, but has this connection, this commitment, we might say this word devotion. So that's another aspect of faith. It's not a devotion that asks us to get rid of our intellect or our rational thinking or unreasonableness. It's not a devotion that asks us to give up our autonomy, but it's a warm-hearted commitment that's born out of a recognition that there's something special here, something that's worthwhile. And then how do we know that, or how do we tune into that, is maybe the third aspect of faith, which is more the intellectual, cognitive, mental aspect of faith. And this way, we might define faith as provisional knowledge. That is, we have this belief that, so maybe it's not so much belief in, but belief that. It makes this belief that this is true. It makes sense to me. It's consistent with my experience. It's consistent with my understanding. But I don't know it firsthand myself right now. So it's a kind of provisional knowledge, a provisional understanding that implies a willingness to accept on trust. Certain teachings, certain propositions that we can't experience for ourselves directly at this time, or we haven't yet. So this willingness to accept on trust. So it might lack adequate evidence at this time, but it isn't irrational. It's not necessarily inconsistent with our experience. We could see how perhaps there could be experience that leads that direction. And through practice, a big part of practice is where we make this transition from belief into knowledge. Maybe you had this certain belief that meditation practice would be helpful and would be a support. And you started meditation practice through before you had the first experience, there was something that supported you, encouraged you. And then you did some meditation practice and said, yes, there is something here that's valuable. And continued So maybe your confidence in the practice grew. Maybe your trust in the confidence grew. So there's three different aspects of faith. One is, you could use this word practical, but it's kind of supports action. The second one is an emotional, maybe a heartfelt commitment or confidence. And the third is intellectual, like a provisional knowledge, a belief that something seems reasonable, but I don't have direct experience yet. And when we think about it, in fact, there's so many things that we have this provisional knowledge for, right? Black holes, for example, like, okay, it seems consistent that there might be this place and space where gravity pulls so much that light can't escape. But, you know, I'm not a physicist. I don't know this for myself, but I'm trusting that those people that are talking about it know what they're talking about. Seems consistent with what I do understand about physics. So there's so many things like this, right, that we have this, I'm using this expression, provisional knowledge, but there's a little bit of trust. We have trust or this confidence that what they're saying makes sense, even though we don't have this direct experience. So I've been describing a little bit of some of these aspects about faith, but another way that we can unpack or examine or look at faith is, well, what function do we see it playing in Buddhist practice? What role does it do? How do people use it? How is it supportive? And rather than just describing what it is, how does it show up in people's lives? How does it affect people? So there's one way, it's a little bit about in the guided meditation, is this recognition that this confidence that we can gain through having more and more experiences can provide encouragement, inspiration, dedication, and not in a zealous way, not in an overt, exaggerated way, but in a way that helps us to feel a certain amount of reassurance or a certain amount of contentment. Yeah, this makes sense to me. This is a direction I want to go. My heart is in here too. It's not just my mind, but my heart. So one way that faith shows up in the Buddhist teachings is in a number of lists. Some people are like, oh no, please, not the lists. I'm one of those people. I like the lists. I kind of enjoy them. But one thing that I'll point out, I'll share a few lists with us. And one of maybe the obvious one is I did a list of the five faculties. And of course, faith is the first element in that list. Faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. We'll notice that faith is first and wisdom is last. So there's maybe two things I'd like to point out here. Faith is not standing by itself. It's with four other elements. So when the Buddha talks about to cultivate and develop the faculties, he doesn't say cultivate and develop faith by itself. It's with these other qualities. And in the beginning of this talk, I give this long list of things that the Buddha was wishing for other people. And faith was part of a collection of positive things. And that's the case. This is how faith always shows up. It's part of a group of practices or qualities or things that can be cultivated or developed, it does not show up by itself. And very often, I think actually every time, it's the first element in the list, which suggests that it's a starting place. So faith is not the end, it's not the goal of practice, it's a support, and it's a place to begin for our practice. So I'd like to introduce you to some other lists that talk about faith. The five factors that support meditation. It's also called the five factors for exertion. As sometimes these get translated these two different ways. The first element is faith. The second element is health. That's defined as being seldom ill or afflicted and having uneven digestion. So faith, health, honesty. Honesty here is defined as revealing themselves as they really are to their teachers and fellow practitioners. So really honestly knowing oneself and being able to share that with others who are wanting to support you in your practice. So faith, health, honesty. Fourth is energy. We are familiar with this. It's applying a little bit of effort towards abandoning those things that are unwholesome and cultivating those things that are wholesome. So a certain, also maybe a steadfastness or perseverance. And then wisdom. So here we are again. Wisdom is the last one and faith is the first. These five factors that support meditation. And faith is one of these elements. And then here's another list. Don't worry, the whole talk is not going to be just filled with list after list. But I wanted to share one more. Is the five qualities that allow a person to live happily. We all want to live happily. And if those of us who have meditation practice, we want to have supports for meditation. So five qualities that allow a person to live happily. It says in the sutta, if a person has certain qualities, they will live happily without distress, anguish, or fever. I think they, of course, don't mean fever literally. It's more metaphorically, without getting agitated and upset about things. Okay, so what are these five qualities? Faith is first, conscientiousness, prudence, and then here's energy and wisdom. So this list, what I'd like to point out here is that faith is just a support for our practice as different elements. It's not the purpose of practice. It's not instead of practice, but instead it's a way to help us find our way with cultivating wholesome qualities and abandoning unwholesome qualities, our way with allowing wisdom to arise. And then maybe the last way that I'll look at faith here. So first we talked about there's these different aspects, and then we talked about, well, what function does it have? And it functions with other qualities to be a support for our lives. And then we might ask, well, is it ever actually flat out defined anywhere? And the question the answer would be yes. Sometimes faith is defined as a person of faith is one who places faith in the enlightenment of the Tathagata. Places faith in the enlightenment of the Tathagata. Many of you know Tathagata is how the Buddha speaks of himself. Places faith in the Buddha, in the enlightenment of the Buddha. There's two different ways we can understand this. One, that enlightenment is possible, that enlightenment did happen for Gautama and made him to be the Buddha. Or we might have faith in the Buddha's enlightenment, that what he is teaching comes from a place of awakening, a place without greed, without hatred, and without delusion. So is faith that enlightenment exists? Or maybe faith in the Buddha as a teacher? And maybe each of us gets to find our own way with this. And maybe it changes at different stages in our practice or different circumstances. But I like to think about this sometimes, that how both are true. The Pali supports interpreting it either way. Faith that enlightenment exists, and faith in the Buddha as a teacher. This can be a support for us. Maybe it's some provisional knowledge. Maybe we see it makes sense. We can see how we have more and more freedom and ease with the more we practice. Maybe there's some emotion, some heartfeltness, a commitment to the Buddha and his teachings. Maybe when we take refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, there's a heartfeltness. And maybe faith that enlightenment is possible, or even in the Buddhist teachings, supports us, helps us to continue with meditation practice, continue with listening to Dharma talks. So in this way, faith, I'll have to say, maybe this is one thing that I love about studying and practicing together, is there's such a depth here. There's so many different ways, or like a richness. It feels a certain like juiciness, if I'm allowed to use that kind of language. You know, like an aliveness, faith. We're invited to explore and examine and investigate these three different aspects of it, how faith might work with other qualities, other factors to support awakening, support our meditation practice, and to support living happily. And may our faith be a support for us so that we can be a support for others. Of course, we're not just practicing for ourselves, but for others, so that we might make our communities and those we come in contact with a place where people can bring their best versions of themselves. So, thank you.